Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
The water polo tight end, Kahale Waring, second year, third round pick. Very polarizing figure on this Texans team. I think he might get cut. I think Jordan Thomas could have a reemergence. A guy who scored four touchdowns 2 years ago his rookie year. And I don't know that carrying four tight ends is something this team's going to do, especially with Colin Gillespie, who could maybe line up and do some tight end things as well, who running back coach today said is going to have more of a role. Yeah. I'm not sold on Kahale Waring. I'm really not, but I don't coach him. So let's hear from someone who does coach Kahale Waring and see if he can sell me on the man known on this show as the water polo tight end. Here is Texans tight end coach Will Lawing talking about what he likes from the water polo tight end.
Right. So, like I said, anytime you're going from year one to year two, you'd like to see a jump. It's always a gradual thing. Kahale's worked his tail off. He's put in a lot of time in the classroom. He does a nice job, you know, learning from his mistakes, his things going. I got big expectations for him, as I do for all the other ones, as well, all the other guys as well. But I would like to see a jump from him. You know, we didn't get to see a lot from him last year. So I'm expecting some progress.
Okay.
He's got a great personality. That is, you're set up okay on a blind date. They ask you, you ask them, what does she look like or what's she like? And she says, she's got a great personality. What does that tell you immediately?
That she's ugly. Right?
Yeah. That was not a wholehearted endorsement right there. I mean, even Wade, we just played it blind for Wade. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the best thing you want to hear right now.
Not the best endorsement that I've ever heard.
He's a draft pick, man.
What about T.J. Yates, former Texans quarterback, now a member of the coaching staff? He's going to be working hands-on with Deshaun Watson. You think he might give a little bit more of an endorsement about Deshaun Watson than Will Lawing did the water polo tight end?
Yeah, you would think.
You think so?
Right.
Let's see if Deshaun has more than just a good personality, courtesy of T.J. Yates.
Yeah, you know, that comes up quite a bit because there's a whole lot that Deshaun does that's uncoachable. You know, that's what makes him great. That's what makes him the player who that he is because you can tell him to do all this stuff, but when stuff breaks down, which happens all the time in the NFL, like, you know, stuff, you know, blitzes come that you're not prepared for, guys come free, and when, you know, when he has to go put on that Superman cape, and he does, that's the stuff where you're sitting on film, you're like, you just got to tell him good job and keep doing that because that's some of the things that these coaches can't coach him.
Yeah, that was much better than he's got a great personality, right? Man.
I really don't think Kahale makes the team.
I think it's certainly on the table. I mean, the guy got this, I'm not going to say phantom, but he got an extended break with a concussion basically from the preseason the entire year last year. Never got back on the field.
Rough year for Jordan Thomas, too. He didn't score a touchdown last year. He was out of shape, not ready to go, had trouble staying healthy.
Yeah.
But again, if you watch training camp last year and you watch this guy practice, which is what they're doing right now, Deshaun trusted him in the red zone last year. Deshaun trusted him in the red zone last year, and Deshaun trusted him the year before and threw him four touchdowns.
He was fine, yeah.
Threw him four touchdowns, yeah. And if you watch in the red zone, he trusts Jordan Thomas. You don't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore. DeAndre Hopkins, in the last three seasons, has more touchdowns than any other receiver in the NFL. I would say that's a pretty good red zone threat, DeAndre Hopkins. So you have that. You have that. You're going to need someone that can make plays in the red zone. Jordan Thomas can. He has mm-hmm. at this level, and we've seen it in practice. I don't know if Kahale Waring is even that type of guy. So you already know that Akins is going to be on the team. You know that Fells is going to be on the team. Fells had 7 touchdowns last year, by the way. I just don't know that I would want to give up on Jordan Thomas at this point if I'm the Texans. And well, I don't think they're carrying 4 tight ends.
I was just going to say, that, you know, you have Jordan Thomas, Darren Fells, Jordan Akins. Where does Kahale Waring even get the reps in the regular season? Unless he, like, blows them away in the preseason. And I'm not talking preseason games. Just in the preseason, how is he going to get on the field?
Yeah, nope, you're wrong on that
well,
one.
We'll see. We'll see about that. I think I'm right on that one.
Another guy, Jordan Thomas, looking to get out of the doghouse currently down the street at Texans training camp, which is going on right now. They put on the pads next week. Another guy kind of looking to get out of the doghouse that came up a couple times today. Kiki QT,
mm-hmm.
third-year receiver. We all remember his rookie year, 2 12 catch games, both against the Indianapolis Colts. Kiki QT, there's starting to be some hope for Kiki QT, if you can read between the lines. Mm-hmm. Texans wide receiver coach John Perry asked about Kiki. He said the following, quote, came back with a great attitude. You can tell he's ready to work. He's got an internal fire. Now, I think the key to Kiki QT making this roster is following DeAndre Carter around,
mm-hmm.
showing that he's a better receiver, which I think he already is, and showing that he can be a better punt returner. That is what I think Kiki's key to making this roster is.
Both coaches also said the same thing you just did. You know, well, let's see him as a punt returner, kick returner. So, yeah, that's key. But, again, let's do the math here. Where are you putting him? Where are you putting Kenny Stills? You know,
well,
where are you putting DeAndre Carter?
He's my receiver. DeAndre Carter's cut.
DeAndre Carter's cut.
He's gone. I'm going to take the guy with more upside. You mentioned
now you drafted a receiver too.
Dude out of Georgia, Simmons.
Isaiah Coulter.
Yeah, well, I like Simmons better.
Simmons
than Coulter.
is the free agent.
Yeah, I think yeah. Coulter could be a practice squad guy. Simmons out of Georgia, I think, has a chance mm-hmm. As well. Special teams coordinator Tracy Smith asked about Kiki QT. He mentioned him as a potential return man, along with Randall Cobb and Duke Johnson. Mm-hmm. I don't think Randall Cobb and Duke are going to be returning punts because they're one deep and two deep on the depth chart. Kiki, right now, he's not your third receiver like he was at this point last year. He is your number five, which means that he might have to do some other things to earn a roster spot.
Right.
I think in a perfect world, Kiki QT beats out DeAndre Carter, and you have Kiki QT returning punts. Carter screwed up a lot last year. I know McClain.
No, you're
said
right. I'm not a
Carter
I'm not
screwed up
to
a
that.
Lot last year. He fumbled against the Falcons. He fumbled against the Chiefs. He didn't catch the ball against the Colts, which led to it bouncing inside the
yeah.
five, which led to them having to take a safety. He screwed up a lot last year.
I'm not opposed to your theory. I'm still trying to see who's in, who's out. Brandon Cooks is in. Will Fuller's in. Randall Cobb is in. Kenny Stills is in. Put an asterisk by that. Kiki QT, if he fits in. You got a fifth rounder in Coulter. That's 6. And then you got DeAndre Carter. That's 7. I mean,
6. I think Simmons has a chance, too. I think Simmons is another guy that could get a chance to return.
Well, that's 8.
Of Georgia. Well, Carter's gone.
Yeah.
Coulter, meh. Meh.
He's practice a fifth squad, rounder.
Practice. I don't care.
Yeah.
Practice squad, meh. Meh, meh, meh. Not sold on him.
I'm just saying it's an interesting discussion to have because I don't exactly know where I stand here. Kenny Stills, you just can't let go, but he keeps coming up as maybe a potential trade bait. And you know Fuller, Cobb, and Cooks are going to keep.
Be interesting to see what goes down. I think there is hope for Kiki. Not sold on the water polo tight end. 5 weeks and a day away from training camp. We've already made 2 trips out there. tomorrow we're going to hear from Bill O'Brien live at training camp. We're going to hear from David Johnson, comeback season volume 3. And we're going to hear from Brandon Cooks.
Man.
Easterby's Bible buddy.
Yep.
Derek Carr is going to wear a sleeve to honor Kobe Bryant. Every time I see Derek Carr, I find an excuse to play his news appearance when he was in elementary school with his brother, David Carr, first draft pick in Texans franchise history amidst his Heisman campaign.
Derek, I understand that you are the president of the David Carr for Heisman campaign. Is that true?
Yeah. It's been fun for brother to be up for the Heisman and win the Johnny Unitas Award and all this great stuff happening for him.
Now, when you hear people saying other guys ahead of your brother for the Heisman, how does that make you feel?
It's just, you know that it's not true, and you know that they can't make the throws your brother can, and you know that, well, he's just the best quarterback in the nation, and just a great thing to know.
Rex Grossman's statistics this year are pretty good, huh?
They're pretty good, but I don't think a sophomore should win the Heisman Trophy. It's more like a senior award.
David, do you think your brother has some valid points here?
I don't know. I'm sitting here laughing at the guy. I can't believe he's saying some of this stuff. He's not politically correct, I guess you'd say, but he's my biggest fan, so, I mean, I'm going to stick with him.
That is so good. I don't agree with Stan. I think, you know, Mariota, they brought him in to put pressure on Derek Carr, so don't say he's not going to put any pressure on Derek Carr.
This point last year, we thought it was a big season for Mariota in Tennessee,
yeah.
And we were wondering, you know, is this going to be the year where he figures things out? Ryan Tannehill comes in, you know, trying to revive his career, ends up getting a big contract out of it. Mariota's almost trying to do that same thing
exactly.
In Las Vegas with the Raiders, and John Gruden's always liked Mariota, so it is something to keep an eye on. I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't necessarily think it's 100% David Carr's job. I could see Mariota doing some things to win over that coach.
Or they're going to use him more, maybe.
And Las Vegas, one of those teams that's looked at as a team that's going to be competing for a playoff spot, looking to take the next step. They've invested a lot on the offensive side in regards to speed. So we'll see what happens. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. That's around the NFL. 5 weeks and a day away from the Texans opening the season. Astros, about 20% through the season. They got more issues than we had originally thought. Let's hear from the Skip next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we know Roberto Osuna likely out for the season. Justin Verlander likely out for the season. I'm going to believe Chandler Rome. I'm sorry. I'm going to believe Chandler. You
okay,
guys
who's
call
reporting?
Fake news. It's Chandler Rome. I just told you. So Chandler Rome. I'll believe Chandler. You can do what you want to do. J-Lo, though, I did not know that Michael Brantley was hurt. Here's Dusty Baker yesterday talking about Michael. My bad. Dump that, Figgy. Michael Effin Brantley.
You know, the ankle connected to the calf, and the calf connected to the knee, and the knee connected to the
hip
thigh.
Bone connected
and,
to the...
you know, he has a quad injury that we have to see about, and you certainly don't want him to pull it. And so it's been bothering the last couple of days. So, you know, he's on a day-to-day basis. He's a guy, and he smells a hit, he's going to run. We'll reevaluate it tomorrow.
All right, this is a test for Dusty Baker, and I think this is something that he needs to pass. I don't think this injury is serious with Michael Brantley, but like he just said himself, Michael Brantley cannot go on a baseball field and not play 100%. He can't feel his way out. That's not in his nature. That's not the cloth that he's cut from. So you just heard Dusty himself say that. Give Michael Brantley the day off today and let him just rest that knee.
They will.
Hell, if you have to sit him out until you go to Oakland over the weekend, first place Oakland A's a half game up on the Astros, do that. You're facing a lefty today that has an ERA over 8. The Astros cranked Madison Bumgarner yesterday. Protect Michael Brantley from himself. Don't let him talk his way into the lineup. Give him the off day. Rough up on this lefty with Lance McCullers on the mound. And don't push it with Michael Brantley. This team cannot afford another significant injury. The bats are going to have to carry them. Don't risk arguably the best bat in the lineup. Protect him from himself. Skip.
The most consistent over time. You never see Michael Brantley, and as soon as I say this, I know somebody's going to go back to 2016 when he had an 0-for-27 slump But you, by and large, you never see a prolonged slump with Michael Brantley. You know, he's just, he's a professional baseball hitter. He's consistent. He looks the same every time in the batter's box, whether it's a spring training game or the seventh game of the World Series. He just hits the baseball.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
That's Michael Effing Brantley. Just protect him, Skip. You know, you don't need him tonight. You need to pinch hit him later, that's fine, but protect Michael Brantley from himself. You can't afford to have an injury. Before we hear more from Dusty Baker, I want you to do what I asked Adam Spillane to do yesterday on the postgame show. By the way, if you're not calling in the postgame show, what the F is wrong with you?
Yeah, you got to do that.
After
they're putting
the game
in some long hours and good work.
We're in there on the postgame show hosted by yours truly after every single game. Call in 713-572-4610. Let's wrap. Let's have some fun after every Stros game. Predict the 2021 outfield for the Houston Astros. And keep in mind, Reddick, Springer, and Effing Brantley are all free agents.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to. You have any other questions?
I agree with Spillane's answer.
Okay, don't tell me his answer. Let me see if I can predict the – I don't want to predict the 2021 Astros outfield, but I will. People are saying either Springer and or Brantley are gone.
Brantley's going to be 33.
He's 33 now, I think.
Yeah, he's going to be 33. Mm-hmm. He is 33. Springer's going to be 31 when he hits free agency, and he's probably going to get a lot of bread.
Springer's probably going to cash in. This will be his last year with an Astro. So predicting the 2021 outfield, it will not have George Springer. Sorry. I don't think it'll have Josh Reddick. Which is a big hit. You got to keep some consistency there, right? You got to keep Brantley. Even though just get him a 2-year deal. Maybe somebody's going to money whip him.
Nah, he's old.
And he'll leave. But he's so consistent. We've just been singing his praises. Yeah. You know, some other contender, not the Astros, but another contender that just brings him in just to get bat sixth, you know? A real, like a Yankees type. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No, don't talk like that.
Okay. I say you keep Brantley.
That's Spillane said that too, and I agree.
I think you put Miles Straw in center field.
Okay.
And Kyle Tucker in right.
That's what I think. I got Brantley coming back. I got Tuck coming back. And then I think it could be someone from the outside that you bring in at center field.
I also consider, you have to consider, I should say, Kyle Tucker getting traded. He's their hottest trade bait right now. Mm. He's playing pretty good baseball.
Alvarez is about to be back.
They need a starting pitcher, or they need pitching, put it that way. So if you're going to bring back some quality pitching and you're in win-now mode, which obviously they are, you might have to trade Kyle Tucker. In that case, it would be Brantley, Straw, and Yordan.
You can't put Yordan in the outfield.
Put Yordan in.
He's my David Ortiz.
Put Yordan.
He's the DH.
But you, I mean, he's played the outfield.
Did you see it? Look like Lurch from Adam's Family out there trying to shag fly balls.
Well, then who's the
dude's not even swinging a bat? I don't want him even.
You're saying 2021.
I don't want him in the outfield.
You're saying
ever.
2021.
I don't want him in the outfield.
I'm not saying
ever.
Next week.
I don't want him in the outfield ever.
Ever?
Never.
Not next year.
Never,
how do you
ever.
Use him? Just DH?
Never, ever. DH. He's my David Ortiz. Swing the bat. That's it. That's all I want. No way.
Yeah?
No way. But I'm with you. I think George is gone, who, by the way, on fire. 9 RBIs, first 4 games of this road trip. But what about all the injuries? Here's Dusty Baker talking about all the injured players that the Astros are dealing with.
Yeah, see, we don't know about Peacock. We know Urquidy is scheduled to throw bullpen in a couple of days. He's feeling better, but he's not, you know, anywhere close. He's still a couple of weeks off. Alvarez.
Here, listen to this update on Yordan Alvarez. What is the process to getting back to hitting? I've heard a lot about throwing, and you throw long toss, and then you get off the mound. He started. They said he was going to start taking live BP last week. Then they said he was up to 30 swings. I'm confused by this process.
They said he was still 10 days away, I think day before yesterday.
Here's the update on Alvarez and the other guys.
He's starting to hit, and, you know, he'll probably say he's ready in a few days, but he needs some reps, you know what I mean? And he needs to see live pitching down there in Corpus Christi. Diaz just started to work out And so he's probably a couple weeks away too. You know, I mean, he's a guy that we really miss sorely. We miss them all. But, you know, especially with our infield situation, he's our MacGyver. He can go in the outfield. He can go first, third, short, second, and off the bench. He's a heck of a bat. So we're hoping to get him back. Hopefully we'll get reinforcements in a couple of weeks. But in the meantime, we got to do what we got to do here.
You know, we talk about the trade deadline. Trade deadline is still August 31st. They're almost going to have like a de facto trade deadline with all these guys they're going to get back. I mean, maybe you get Peacock back. Maybe you get Aledmys Diaz, a.k.a. MacGyver, back. Maybe you get Alvarez back. Mm-hmm. Maybe Urquidy comes up. Maybe Davinsky figures stuff out and he's back. For all this talk about trades, I know there's no starting pitcher in there, although got to feel pretty good about Christian
Javier man.
Yesterday. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys coming back for the Strohs in the next few weeks.
Yordan is a mystery. Obviously, it's a mystery of why exactly he's gone, was gone. Wink, wink. You can only imagine what that might have been. And then getting back, I mean, it could be like he's having setbacks, you know, because you're right. If he's just going to be the DH, just get in that batting cage and take your hacks. Work on all your things, work on different pitches, and then take live BP. It shouldn't take 2 weeks. If you've been in any kind of shape at all, it shouldn't take 2 weeks to get back to be a DH. Right? If you're in any shape at all. Unless, you know, maybe you were sick or something.
Sick with what? Like the flu?
People say it's like the flu. Some do.
Sick with what? Like strep throat?
I mean, I haven't heard that one.
Mono?
I haven't heard that one either.
Is this a weird process for getting back to hit? I've never heard this. I've never heard he's up to 30 swings. I've heard he threw a live game. I've heard, you know, he's long tossing. I've heard that, you know, he got back on the track and all that type of stuff. But I haven't heard he's up to 30 swings in my life. You've covered baseball longer than me.
I've never heard it. Never heard it. Okay, that's 30. Stop swinging. But I feel pretty good. I mean, that's weird. 30 pitches? Okay.
I don't get it. He loves him some Aledmys Diaz. I love Aledmys Diaz, too, because he can do everything. Dusty Baker called him MacGyver.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what – I have a recommendation. Do they still have walk-up songs for players?
Yeah.
I know what Aledmys Diaz needs to change.
The MacGyver theme?
No, not the MacGyver thing.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Little Cash Money Records is what Aledmys Diaz needs to come up. Aledmys, if you're listening – shout out to you. Thank you very much for using the radio.com app. This is your new walk-up song, baby. There we go.
There you
number
go.
One stunner. What? Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. 5 weeks and a day away from Texans training camp. There's a lot of noise coming from there. We'll give it to you, and we'll look ahead to tonight's Strohs game, as well as back at the Rockets' first loss of the NBA restart next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, 5 weeks and a day from training camp. Tomorrow, my goodness, new faces and a familiar face. King Bill O'Brien going to meet with the media types live at training camp via the Zoom.
Is he going to be messing with it?
David Johnson is going to meet with the media
with
types.
The Zoom.
Comeback season for the third time. And Brandon Cooks, Jack Easterby's buddy, is going to meet with the media types.
Look, it's going to be really, really
Before
interesting.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
Okay. God, why'd you have to do that to me, Figgy?
Well, let me start by saying...
What else you got? Are you unloading on me today?
Thank you so much, John. I hope you're well.
It's so bad. Anywho, it's going to be really interesting to hear David Johnson because clearly, you know, he hears the chatter, which we are a part of that chatter. I know I am, and you haven't really debunked my opinion on him too much.
I mean, I have twice as many yards as you do. You have him at 500. I have him at least 1,000. I mean, I would say twice as many yards is kind of a little bit of a
debunk. So you think he's going to be the man running the ball?
I think this team is set up to where the offensive line is good enough to where you can run, you can rush for 1,000 yards. Now, I think a good running back that would validate the investment that they've made in him could really do some damage.
Yours is more because of 1,450. The finances involved.
It's because of the offensive line that I think he'll be okay. It's still not going to justify paying him what you're paying him and trading for him what you traded for him.
But see, my counterpoint on that is, yes, the offensive line is going to make anybody, you and I could do better than we normally would with a good offensive line as opposed to what they've had in the past. That's not my point. My point is yards per carry, durability, how many games is he going to play, and then average per game. Like you can get 1,000 yards averaging 60 yards a game. If he hits 999, that's not a great year. You know, that's not that great a year. I'm talking about a guy that on a playoff team can be a force rushing the ball, which is what playoff teams need. I don't see it happening. Not with him at this point in his career.
I'm confused as to what their plan is on like 3rd and 2.
I've said that multiple times.
David Johnson's not a guy that you just run right between the tackles and he trucks guys. I know he's a big guy, but he's more of a receiver. Duke Johnson's a little guy. He's kind of a guy that you run sweeps with and everything like that. I don't know the stuff we saw Carlos Hyde do last year where they were pretty good on fourth down. I don't know that David Johnson and Duke Johnson are converting on those types of third down and short.
When it's packed in and the line, the splits are tight and everybody knows you're going to run the ball, and you have to run the ball, is David Johnson going to get you 2 yards when everybody knows it's coming?
I think it's going to be Deshaun, man. He's going to be the go-to on 3rd and 2.
So they're going to run like zone read with Deshaun. We're going to see some of that.
Yeah.
That's not outrageous.
I wouldn't mind
that's,
it.
Yeah, that's...
He might lead them in rushing.
Oh, wow.
I could see him leading him in rushing.
Like Lamar Jackson, he just gets unleashed. Yeah. Just like
I could see him doing it.
Of all the stuff that we've said, Figgy, that right there, if we're talking about reason to be encouraged, maybe Deshaun just gets unleashed. And we do see these running backs. Maybe we see some more shotgun, some more two-back sets. We see some more zone read. And maybe we see Deshaun Watson just unleashed like Lamar Jackson was last year. Now, obviously, he's not going to try to truck people like Lamar Jackson.
No, it's two different running styles.
And he's not as electric as Lamar Jackson in the open field. Don't take that personal, Texans fans. Lamar Jackson is like something we've never seen when it comes to running the rock. But Deshaun, he can make plays with his feet. Maybe that's the strategy that not enough people are talking about Figgy. Maybe Deshaun just gets unleashed.
And you know what would lead to that? A new play caller. That's been my whole optimism, if there is such a thing. I don't know if I'm optimistic or just hopeful with Tim Kelly. He's different. He's something new. Maybe he's sitting in his lab, you know, saying we need to run these sets of plays more often. Whether it's Deshaun Watson on a zone read or Deshaun Watson on a called run or whatever it may be, not run, you know, whatever the play may be. I think that's where something different gives me hope, at least, or optimism.
You keep saying he's different. Like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, he's different. Like, okay, he's different. Good. Like, what does that mean? Like, he's different. Just because he's not him, he's different?
Yes. Because like, everybody looks at the same thing differently.
Different. Like, we just keep saying different.
Well, let me explain it to you.
Like, you just keep saying different.
You're saying different way too many times right now. All right? Let me explain something to you. Every day, it's mostly you put together this. Rundown. That is our rundown.
Right.
All right?
Right.
10 a.m., 10:20, et cetera, et cetera. You have every segment pretty much laid out. If this exact rundown, if we started the show again today, right at 2 p.m., if we just sat in for show and Clint, and I was leading the show and you were the number two guy, our show would not sound the same. It would be totally different because I interpret things and lead things in differently than you would. It's the exact same play sheet, if you will. But if I started the show instead of you and then we reversed roles, it would be a totally different show. That's what I mean by Tim Kelly. Same playbook, same plays. We'd be calling them differently. We'd be looking at them differently. We'd use different things in different settings. And that's why I'm hopeful.
Put it up. Play this for Tim Kelly and John Lopez.
I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. Pull up to the scene with my ceiling missing. Pull up to the scene with my ceiling missing.
I think this is Tim Kelly's walk-up music.
You think Tim Kelly has this in his car?
Yeah, no, this is walk-up music.
Is this Tim Kelly pulling up to NRG?
Whenever he walks into the stadium. This is gonna be our Tim Kelly theme song this year.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go. All right. So he's different. Mm-hmm. Tim Kelly is different. That's the moral of the
story. I'm different from you.
Yes, you are, J-Lo.
Wait,
yes,
is that a race card?
Well, I mean, it could be. It just depends how you look at it. There's a lot of ways you could look at it. Race card! Different ways you could look at that. But Tim Kelly is different. We do know that. Dusty Baker different from A.J. Hinch. That's safe. That could be a race card, too.
Race car. Oh, really? Obviously.
I didn't mean it like that, but he's a different type of manager than A.J. Hinch. A.J. Hinch ain't doing that. So we've gotten a taste of Dusty. We are about 20% through the season. We're 1/6 through the year. This is basically the equivalent of a month.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you know about Dusty Baker as the Astros skipper.
Oh, I follow Dusty,
you know,
man.
Tell me how you feel.
You're
tell
talking about just know. In his Astros tenure?
If you had not known a damn thing about Dusty Baker, let's pretend... Let's get
clean slate
out of our mind. Clean slate.
We came from outer space.
Random ass Dusty Baker just comes and he's managing the Astros. What do you know about Astros manager Dusty Baker?
All right. Let me give this just a second of thought. Old school. Edgy. Has his players back. Not afraid to state his opinion.
I don't think. And I know it's a unique circumstance. I don't think that I've seen in this amount of time over the course of a season a coach give you more of a clear idea of what he's about than Dusty Baker. Yeah. And I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that, you know, there's obviously coaches are going to get second guessed. But as far as just sticking it out there, being transparent with the media, being very transparent with his players,
yeah,
talking about the decisions he makes, maybe getting defensive about him, but still going into detail about him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I've seen in the course of about 10% of a season a coach show what he's about as much as Dusty Baker in this short of a time.
You know, I mean, you get what you see. You know, from the moment he stepped off that airplane and Mark Berman attacked him. You know exactly what you're getting.
Attacked
with Dusty, and that's one of his strengths. I think. I mean, there's no BS with his players. There's no BS with us, with the media, with fans. Certainly, you know, get on the mound, little guy. As he said, there's no BS anywhere.
He said little F.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was it. I thought guy. He said little guy.
Yeah, don't misrepresent my guy Dusty. Get on the mound,
little f***. Ooh, okay.
Rockets lost last night. First loss of the revamp Portland.
How about Melo, baby?
Boy, Melo.
Dude.
He's going to be 95 given buckets.
That was a big shot he hit at the end, man. The only way it would have been bigger and more in your face to the Rockets, where he just didn't fit in according to the Rockets or him or whatever it was, would have been if he would have hit that shot wearing a hoodie like he does, you know, in the gym when he's working out. He plays every game with the hoodie up, kind of like you were yesterday. You went running with a hoodie.
I did. I ran from apartment to here.
Yeah.
When I got here, I ran up the parking garage too, so I put in some extra work. Didn't stop.
But you didn't run the 20 floors.
Hell no. Did that one time. I felt like I was about to die.
John McClain almost died. Remember that time?
What?
Hell no.
There was...
You're talking about when he fell at the airport before he lost all this weight?
No. No, 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 no. McClain once had to walk up here.
No, he didn't.
You're serious?
I am.
Walk up here serious. From what?
I thought from the bottom floor. Now, maybe...
McClain walked up the 19 flights.
That was like a...
When he was fat?
It was like a storm or something.
When he was fat?
Yes. We'll ask him. He's on tomorrow.
Was this when he was sipping Diet Cokes?
Yeah, Diet Dr. Pepper, man. Don't give him that Diet Coke stuff. That's my drink, but... No, I think it was a storm. The power went out.
think I was doing the show with Cody. I'll have to double check with Cody, but
I think I remember that.
Remember that?
I don't remember him walking up here, though.
I thought he had to walk up all the way. And
because I remember we was thinking about Rich and Sean, you know,
having to walk.
Yeah, but the elevator just so happened to work by the time they show happened. But
we'll have to ask him. Could you imagine?
Rich didn't have to walk?
No.
God. I wanted Rich to have to walk.
Hey, did you guys hear?
I did it. You know the thing that is the craziest about training camp going on right now and 36 days away from the start of the season?
What's that?
Not getting to watch John McClain walk the fields at training camp.
Oh, he saunters. He saunters more than you do.
I could honestly just sit there.
With a capital
I could
B.
just sit there and watch John McClain walk the field.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, there's no rules for the guy. Like, they can sit there and have, like, a security guy up, like, blocking the goal line. He walks on the damn field while the kicker's kicking and stands behind him. Like,
he's literally
allowed to walk on the field. Like, he could basically go take the snap from center. Instead of Deshaun Watson, there's no rules for him. They're like, all right, everybody stay back at this line. You can't go on this field.
Anyone else?
You look over and John McClain's walking on the field while they're running gassers.
Anyone else would get tased, you know? McClain just walks across, owns the place.
Doesn't even budge.
No.
Just walks on.
He's John McClain, and you're not.
Man. I want to run something the way he runs.
Oh, you haven't lived until you saw John McClain at the Super Bowl with his harem.
Oh, where he can't even walk five feet?
He's got people around. He's got assistants. And he gets to press boxes like 4.5 hours before the game, 5 hours before the game, just to schmooze people.
Him at training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Something else.
A couple of texters remember that it was during a flood. He had to walk up. Wow. That was dangerous. I'm not gonna lie, man.
No, that's
scary. Dangerous.
That's scary. Because those doors are closed.
Yeah.
And you have to go let him in. It's not good.
Yeah.
I would not want John McClain to be walking up there. Brandon Cooks tomorrow. David Johnson. Bill O'Brien. Rank your confidence 1 to 3. In the three guys that we're going to hear from mañana.
In their seasons or what we hear?
This season, 2020, just this window, as far as what you expect from
baby,
them compared
what a question.
To reaching expectations. Brandon Cooks, David Johnson, Bill O'Brien.
Brandon Cooks, David Johnson, Bill O'Brien. I'm going to say in order of the most, you know, I guess success, Brandon Cooks 1.
Yes.
Why are you doing this to me?
Because I just wanted you to have to pick between Bill O'Brien and David
Johnson.
Because
they're joined at the hip. It's almost like they're one and the same.
Who are you more confident in?
Because if David Johnson doesn't have a good year, Bill O'Brien doesn't have a good year, and vice versa. You know? If Bill O'Brien has a good year, it's because David Johnson had a good year.
Yeah.
But I'll do it. I'll play the game. Brandon Cooks first. I'm going to say Bill O'Brien second, David Johnson third. The reason being, Bill O'Brien is Teflon, man. David Johnson could have a bad year, and he's still around for 3 more years.
Yeah, you know? Great. Yeah, I guess so, John.
Boy, I have never, ever, in my time working with you, seen you as down on somebody as you are David Johnson.
I'm not down on him.
You are, honestly, Kevin Johnson's not even the Johnson that you've been most down on before. You've basically been
I loved Andre.
Short.
A whole lot of suck.
Yeah. That's what you said about Kevin Johnson. You've basically said that about David Johnson, .. A whole lot of suck.
I have not.
It was actually worse.
Are you kind of bitter? Are you kind of bitter about him because
of DeAndre?
Yes.
I've thought about that. The answer is no. Because I am actually, I said it today. I've said this today, not just recently. I think David Johnson can be a good weapon out of the backfield. He can't run the ball like he used to. Period. Paragraph. That's what I'm down on, and that's what's a head scratcher for me, that they think, and look, I'm not going to say I know more football than Bill O'Brien, but it's perplexing to me that he thinks that he can be a workhorse. He can't.
Well, I think it's perplexing that if they loved him, if I just would have known since day one that they loved David Johnson, then I would I don't know that I'd feel better about it, but I would at least understand that they had a clear vision.
Right.
They offered Carlos Hyde a contract. Like,
this is true. Yeah.
They offered Carlos Hyde a contract.
Yeah.
And then Carlos Hyde ended up going to Seattle, and it's like they traded DeAndre Hopkins and brought in David Johnson, took back all that money that a lot of people think that wasn't necessary to take back, and this is the guy. And it's just weird to invest that much in something that's pretty much a backup plan. Because it's no mystery that David Johnson wasn't going to be a Cardinal last year.
Right.
They offered Kenyon Drake the tender. Like, Kenyon Drake finished with like 300 yards the final 2 weeks of the season or whatever.
Even you are a little bitter about what they're paying. And not just what they're paying.
Oh, hell yeah, I'm bitter. He's a top five paid running back.
Not just because of what they're paying, but because of how you could have had him. He could have been on the street. I mean, he might have been a street free agent.
You think Arizona was going to bring him back?
Right, that's my point.
There's no chance in hell. Like, there's no chance in hell. They were going to bring back the two guys that averaged more yards per carry than him, the one that they offered the tender to. It's going to make like $9 million this year, less than David Johnson still, by the way.
Yeah.
And then Allen Edmonds, who was the backup little slash type back. Like, it's alarming.
You could have got him off the street.
It's alarming. I mean, the money they invest in the running back position, when you're doing something like this, you should almost feel like the Saints a few years ago when they had Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Like,
Let me ask you this.
A little better.
Would Todd Gurley be worth what they're paying David Johnson?
Dude, if you're going to tell me that it's going to be a committee and you're telling me that Todd Gurley, even if he's not what he once was, if you want to sell me on a committee of Todd Gurley and Duke Johnson, I think Gurley can at least run between the tackles and he can also catch the rock out of the backfield.
That's been my entire point. I think he's the Walter Payton Man of the Year in Arizona. I think he's a good dude. I think he's a weapon that can be used. He's not a workhorse. He's not a pound the ball kind of guy.
It'll be interesting. We'll hear from him tomorrow live out there at Texans training camp. The stuff's still going on down there. We're 5 weeks and a day away. Stroh's tonight at 8. Post game right after with yours truly. 713-572-4610. There are no rules on phone calls after post game. So after the Stroh's in, just call in. We can BS. We can talk about whatever, and it's your first chance to sound off after the Stroh's versus the Diamondbacks tonight. For Wade Smith, for Stanford Rout, for the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do. We'll hear from David Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Bill O'Brien tomorrow. I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. I'll talk to you tonight on postgame. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.